Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad you joined us today. And we have a wonderful passage of Scripture to study today. One of my very favorite passages in the entire Bible. But first, why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the Word of God not only teaching us how to get to heaven, but teaching us how to live in a way that pleases you until we get there. And Lord, I pray today that what we study would be another portion of the Bible teaching us what pleases you in our life and what benefits us in our life as well. So we commit our time in the Word of God to you. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Make them open and soft to the impact of your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Yes. Okay. Now, we are studying the Gospels here on Live with Lon. And we're in the Gospel of Luke. And we're in chapter 17. And here in chapter 17, Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem, his final journey to Jerusalem, from up around the Sea of Galilee, where he is going to be captured, tried, sentenced, crucified, buried, and resurrected. Praise the Lord. Yes. And this event that we're going to look at takes place while he's on that journey, that trek from the Sea of Galilee, excuse me, in the north, down to Jerusalem in the south. So, are you ready? One of my favorite passages in the Bible. Are you ready? All right, here we go. We're in Luke chapter 17, and we want to begin at verse 11. Here we go. New King James, right? Okay, good. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, off top of our head, most of us would not know exactly where this placed him. So I've got a map for you. Let's put the map up, okay? And you'll see at the top in the north is Galilee, in the middle is Samaria, and in the south is Jerusalem, with the Jordan River running to the east, down from the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. And so as Jesus begins his journey, leaving Galilee, heading for Jerusalem, he's passing through the central highlands of Israel at that day, sort of to the north a little bit, and he has Galilee on one side and Samaria on the other. So now you know where Jesus is. Okay, let's go back, verse 12. And as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now, I remember when I was growing up, the most dreaded disease around was polio. Every mother was terrified back in the 50s when I was a child that they'd walk in their child's room one morning and their child would say, "Mommy, I can't move my legs." Now, back in Jesus's day, the most dreaded disease was leprosy, or as it's called today, Hansen's disease. And leprosy was a bacterial infection, which today can be treated with antibiotics. But of course, in Jesus's day, they didn't have antibiotics. And it causes a disfigurement and all kinds of other grotesque physical abnormalities. I don't want to show you a picture because it's just too grotesque. But people would lose fingers, they would could lose toes, they could lose parts of their face. It was terrible. And there was no cure. And so when a person had leprosy, They were exiled. This is according to the Old Testament. They were exiled from the population of Israel. They were quarantined. Yeah, there's our word. We're very familiar with that. From the rest of the nation, so that the rest of the people around them didn't catch it, this leprosy. Now, if a person with leprosy approached you or approached someone in the street, we know from Jewish writings that people were required to scream out, unclean, unclean, to warn people not to get close to this leper. And being a leper was a miserable experience. The rejection, the isolation, the physical impact of the disease, the shame that you must have committed some sin or God wouldn't have done this to you. It was horrible. So here Jesus meets 10 of these lepers. And look what happens, would you? Verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They obviously had heard about Jesus' healings. They knew who he was. As I've told you many times, Jesus' healings throughout the land of Israel were known by everyone. This was not a secret. As the Apostle Paul says to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, these things were not done in a corner. Everybody knew about Jesus. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, what does this mean? Well, in the Old Testament, if someone was miraculously healed of leprosy or any other dreaded disease, as a way of validating their healing, they were told to go and present themselves to the priests of the temple or the tabernacle, either one, and have the priest verify their healing so that they could be recommitted and readmitted to the general population of Israel. And this is what Jesus says to them. Go show yourselves to the priests. Now, folks, there was no reason for these 10 lepers to go show themselves to the priest unless Jesus was going to heal them. You understand? The priest wouldn't even agree to see them if they still had their leprosy. So intrinsic in Jesus' statement is the promise to these lepers, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you. So by the time you get to the priest, you're going to be able to present yourself to them clean and ready to be readmitted to normal society. You understand? Okay. Now, the verse goes on to say, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So the 10 lepers, taking it by faith that Jesus was going to heal them, believing his promise, intrinsic in what he said, that he was going to heal them, they turned and headed off to go to the priest. This was a faith act on their part. And while they were going, Jesus healed them. They were cleansed. All right, now watch. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned to Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, of course, a Samaritan would be expected that Jesus was right there on the border of Samaria. But he was not Jewish. He was a foreigner. The Jewish people despised the Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds and not part of the nation of Israel. So the fact that a Samaritan would come back to thank Jesus and not some of the others who by implication must have been Jewish, kind of amazed Jesus. And he fell at Jesus' feet and he began to thank him. He began to thank him for healing. Now, and Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Some translations will say, I thought I healed 10 lepers. Where are the other nine? This is humorous. This is Jewish humor. someone says, how are you today? Oh, I'm the same as yesterday, only worse. That's Jewish humor. How are you today? Are you fine? Why should I be fine today? What reason is there why I should be fine? This is Jewish humor. Jesus said, I thought I healed 10 of you guys. Where are the other nine? Well, this is Jewish humor. It's a rhetorical question. The other nine aren't there. That was his point, of course. Why didn't the other nine come back and thank him, is his point. All right. Look, verse 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, to the Samaritan, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. What faith was it? Well, the faith that he had to go off to show himself to the priest, taking by faith that Jesus was going to heal him, okay? But notice the other nine also showed that faith, but didn't come back to say thank you. Now, this kind of amazed Jesus that he would heal someone from such a life-changing, altering, awful disease, and that they wouldn't have the gratitude to come back and say thank you. This amazed him. However, would you notice, and I think this is very interesting, that even though Jesus was amazed that they didn't come back and say thank you, he did not take their healing away. He didn't say, oh yeah, you didn't come back and say thank you? Well, watch this. Boom! And nine of them become lepers again. No, Jesus didn't do that. He left their healing in place, which I think speaks to the wonderful mercy and grace and long-suffering and understanding of the living God. But he was a little shocked they didn't come back to say thank you. Now, that's the end of our passage, but we want to ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now, on the count of three, let's go. One, two, three, so what? That's right. And as Jackie Gleason always said, say it with me, come on, how sweet it is. Yes. Now, what difference does this make to me? That one leper came back and the other nine didn't. Well, friends, it's clear from this passage that coming back and thanking God, falling on your feet and thanking and being grateful to Jesus for what he did, pleased the Lord. He was, frankly, he was a little shocked the other nine didn't. You know, with God, gratitude is a big deal. I remember I used to always say to my children, look, there's only two things that I really want from you guys. I want respect and obedience, and I want gratitude for what I do for you. I'm a very generous person, but it matters to me that people are grateful. I don't like it when people are ungrateful or disrespectful. And you know, I believe God's the same way. He doesn't like disrespect and disobedience, and he doesn't like being ungrateful for what he does for us. And when you go through the Bible, we don't notice it that much when we're just casually going through and reading how much this principle of thanking God, being grateful to God, is emphasized in the Bible. But when we start pulling passages out that mention this, it's a little overwhelming how often God mentions this subject. Let me just show you, okay? How about Colossians chapter 4, verse 2? Here's what it says. Verse 2 says, continue in prayer, being vigilant in it with, what's it say? Thanksgiving. How about Colossians 2, 6? As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it, that is the faith, with thanksgiving. How about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, in the Psalms, over 50 times in the Psalms, we are told to give thanks or be thankful to the Lord. Here's another one, Luke 22, before taking communion, the very first communion there at the Last Supper, look what Jesus did, Luke 22, verse 17. And Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And then look at verse 19. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Before the cup and before the bread, Jesus gave thanks. And look at this in Mark chapter 8, at the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 8, verse 6. As Jesus got ready to feed the 5,000, if you remember, it says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves of bread, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd, and they set them before the multitude, and at the end, they still had bread left over. So Jesus was giving thanks before communion, giving thanks before doing one of his greatest miracles. I mean, Jesus was a man who gave thanks. And look here. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. I love this. Hebrews 13, verse 15. And here's what it says. Therefore, by him, by Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Here, giving thanks is called a sacrifice, like one of the Old Testament sacrifices that were made to God. We make sacrifices to God, spiritual sacrifices. We don't present animals. We present spiritual sacrifices, and one of them is giving thanks to God. This is all through the New Testament and the Old Testament, and I love it that this is emphasized. And only when we begin comparing all these passages do we see how much it's emphasized. Hey, this is a problem for us, isn't it? I mean, how many times, friends, do you ask God for things or in your mind say to God, I wish you would help with this, please, and he does it, and you and I never go back deliberately and intentionally and say thank you? How many times does that happen? A lot. For all of us, right? Or we'll be in some crisis and we'll pray, oh God, please, if you'll only get me out of this, please, God, if you'll only fix this, I'll be a missionary. I'll be in church next Sunday and every week. I'll go be a nun, right? And then he helps us. We don't even go back and say thank you. You know, we just go back to normal until the next crisis where it's time to offer being a missionary, a nun, or going to church every week, right? We all do this. Now, God understood that these 9 lepers didn't come back, and he didn't revoke their healing because he's a God, as I said, of mercy. Look, God understands that as human beings, our sinful nature is essentially ungrateful. And he doesn't revoke his answers to prayer or his blessings because we don't come back and say thanks. But this is not about whether he revokes his blessing. This is about what pleases him. And what pleases him is that we are grateful people. We should start off our prayer time every day, end our day, or begin our day by saying, God, let me thank you. Before I do anything else, let me thank you for some of the wonderful things that you've done for me, that you did for me yesterday, that you did for me today, and that you've done for me over the years. And you know what? That will even change our own heart as we approach God. Being grateful also has a benefit for us. Now, it's true, when we're truly grateful people, it wins the heart of other people. People love grateful people. People love gratitude. This gives us a platform in people's lives to share our testimony. I remember years ago when Power Rangers were really big, this is 25 years ago, I got the first Power Rangers to ever come out were about this tall, and they were plastic, and they were big Power Ranger figures, and you couldn't get them anywhere. There's no way you could get these things. They were hotter than firecrackers, folks, and I put my name on a waiting list at Toys R Us. Some of us still remember the days when Toys R Us was around. To buy some when they came in, and after a few weeks, I didn't hear anything. I called up, I got this nice lady on the phone, and I said to her, I'm just calling to see what my status is. And she said, I'm so sorry. They came in, and somehow, some way, your name was skipped. And I said, oh, that's okay. You know, I understand things happen. She said, I have one figure in stock. It's back in my office. And she said, if you'll come over, you can have it. I'll let you buy it. So I went right over and I met this lady, you know, the head of customer service. And she said, look, I want to apologize. I feel so badly that we didn't call you. And I said, ma'am, look, it's okay. It's not a problem. I'm just extremely grateful that you let me buy this one. And I'm okay. I mean, when more come in, if I'm on the list, if you'd kindly call me, that'd be great. But hey, I'm just thankful I got this one. Well, you know what happened? I started getting all these calls from this lady. Every time she got a shipment in, she saved a handful for me. And not just the figures, but the vehicles and things that came with them that nobody could get. I mean, nobody could get this stuff back then. And she would save them, and I'd go over. I got the most amazing collection of Power Rangers unopened stuff you ever saw. And if they ever come around again, I'm going to be a millionaire. Hey, don't laugh. Original G.I. Joes sell for thousands of dollars on eBay. And the first series of Garbage Pail Kids, a complete series, sells for thousands of dollars. Don't laugh. Might happen. But anyway, one day when I went in to pick up some of this contraband, she wasn't there, but she had left them for me. And the manager of the store said to me, he said, you know, he said, you're her favorite customer. I said, really? He said, yeah, every one of us have a favorite customer here. It's just the way it is. And he said, she told me about when you came in and you had been overlooked and you were so grateful and appreciative of this one figure that she had back in her office that you won her heart. The fact you weren't upset, because she said, we have people coming in, they scream at us, they threaten us, they're just completely rude when they don't get their figures. And she said, you were so grateful. She said, you're her favorite customer. That's why she calls you and gives you all this stuff. And I was eventually able to share the Lord with this lady. And I'm hoping she'll be in heaven. And what opened the door? You say, Power Rangers. No, not Power Rangers. Gratitude. Appreciation for even the smallest favor. This wins the heart of people. But far more importantly, folks, this does something amazing for our own heart. Let me read you Philippians chapter 4. Look there with me. And many of us know this verse. So I'm going to put it up on the screen. We're going to put it up. Philippians chapter 4. Here we go. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Did you catch I left out a phrase? Huh? Most of us, even if we memorize this, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your request be. A lot of us leave out the very same phrase when we memorize it. But look, it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. God, I'm asking you for this, and I'm praying about it, but Lord, I'm thankful for where I am. And I'm thankful for everything you've given me. You know, I'm not jealous. I'm not envious. I'm not covetous. Lord, I'm not upset. I'm asking you for this, but I'm grateful, God, for everything you've done for me, whether you give me this or not. That attitude, look what it says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. I've told you this before, but let me repeat it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, declared not guilty by the sacrifice and the blood of Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that means that between us and God, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, we were enemies of God, but when we come to, through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, God declares a peace treaty with us. That is not what this is. This is the peace of God. This is that experiential feeling that just surrounds and burns in our heart. And that even when we are in the most dire and difficult circumstances, there's peace. All is well with our soul. The Bible says this is what we get. God takes away the fear and the anxiety and replaces it with the sweet peace of God when we come and lay these things before him in prayer with thanksgiving. That's what unlocks the peace of God. Prayer with thanksgiving. And so not only does thanksgiving please the Lord, and not only does it win the hearts of other people, but friends, most importantly, it brings the peace of God that surpasses understanding to our heart. Thanksgiving, this is important. We should be doing it. You say, okay, Lon, how? Remember what I told you, a preacher's no good if he doesn't tell you so what and how. How do I get the ability to thank God in all my circumstances? That's what the Bible says. How do I get that ability? Well, look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to look with me at verse 18. Here we go. It says, in everything give thanks. You mean in the bad stuff? Yes. In the good stuff? Of course. In the in-between stuff? Yes. When God answers my prayer? Yes. When God says wait? Yes. When God doesn't answer my prayer? Yes, give thanks in everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Why? Look. For this, whatever it is that you're going through, this circumstance that you're in is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can I give thanks in all things? I can give thanks in all things by remembering the sovereignty of my God. And that my God is sovereign over my circumstances. And that my God is sovereign over every event in my life. Good, the bad, the ugly. And remembering the sovereignty of my God. And the goodness of my God. That if anything else were better for me at this moment in time. Because God is good. He would have given it to me. And the fact he didn't give me anything else but where I am. Means that where I am is what's best for me. Where I am is where I'm supposed to be while I'm there in the sovereign will and plan of God for my life. And if you and I really believe that the sovereign God has sovereignly chosen to have this situation in my life because of his sovereign plan for my life, then I can give thanks for it. Then there's no reason not to give thanks for it. If anything were better, God would have done it. So if he didn't give me anything better, then this is best, and I can give thanks for it. Not only can I, but I should. I love what one guy wrote. I read it on the internet. He wrote, "Today's tragedy often is tomorrow's blessing." How much is that true? Isaiah 61, God loves to turn ashes into beauty. And so if you've got ashes right now, my friend, in something in your life, some area of your life, it's okay. That's exactly where God wants you to be right now for the lessons he needs to teach you. But he's going to replace those things with beauty. He always does. All things work together for good to those who love God. Romans 8:28. Joel chapter 2, God loves to restore to us the years the locusts have eaten. Feel like a locust plague has gone through some area of your life? Your health, your finances, your romantic life, your child's life, your job, whatever. It's okay. God loves to restore the years the locusts have eaten. But if he feels you need to be in a locust-infested field for a while, it's okay. Hey, Ruth was in a field crawling on her hands and knees, picking up grain that had dropped to the ground when the harvesters went through. This was called gleaning, with a G, the fields. And godly men were told in the book of Deuteronomy to leave the produce, the ears of corn, the barley, whatever, that fell to the ground, leave them there for the poor and the indigent to pick up. You talk about a locust plague going through your life. Ruth and Naomi were so poor, they were living off grain that dropped on the ground. But was she exactly where God wanted her to be? Yeah, because she was in Boaz's field. And Boaz saw her. And Boaz was handsome. Boaz was rich. And Boaz was godly. And the best part of all, Boaz was available. Yes, he was. And they got married, and she became the great-great-grandmother of King David and the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that locust plague where she was supposed to be at that moment in time? Absolutely. Did God turn it into beauty? Yes, he did. Did he restore the years the locust had eaten from her life and Naomi's? Yes, he did. And he'll do it for you. Friends, giving thanks in all things is a faith act. It's not a logical act. Because logically, you look around and maybe things don't look so good. It's an act of faith. It's an act of saying, I believe God's promise that all things will work together for good. I believe God's promise that this is the will of God for me in Christ Jesus for this moment. And because I believe that, by faith, I can rise up and thank God for it. Even though I don't like it, even though it's uncomfortable, even though it hurts, even though it's painful, even though I'm miserable, doesn't matter. I can thank God anyway because I'm doing it by faith, not by feelings. I'm doing it by faith, not by human logic. I'm doing it by believing God's promises and not believing what people say to me, like, oh, God's forgotten you. Ooh, God's done with you. Ooh, God's forsaken. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. Trust him and thank him for where you are, and God will get you where you want to be, with beauty for ashes. You know, I want to close with a song by Garth Brooks. Many of you may know this song. Because of YouTube rules, I can't play it, but I can give you the lyrics, and maybe you can hum the melody. If not, go online and look it up. It's a very simple melody. It's called Unanswered Prayers, and it's a song about him praying and praying and praying and praying and God not answering, and then later him realizing he's glad God didn't answer that prayer. Some of us here are praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. God's not doing anything yet, and we're upset and we're angry and we think God has forsaken us. No, 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 no. One day you're going to look back and you're going to thank God he didn't answer the prayers you're praying now, or at least that he didn't answer them right now when you're praying them, but he had a perfect timing that's not up yet. I love what one of the people wrote in on Garth Brooks' song. They said, when you pray to God, he has three answers. Yes, no, and be patient. I have something better planned for you. Here's the lyrics. Let's put them up. And here's how the song goes. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Here's the chorus. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now he goes on. The girlfriend wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams. And I could tell that time had changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And watch, and as she walked away, and I looked at my wife, and then and there, I thank the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he may not answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Remember what the guy wrote in and said, when you pray to God, he has three answers. Yes, no, and be patient. I have something better planned for you. Let's rise up, be men and women of faith, and thank God for just where we are each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our ungrateful spirits. We're all guilty of it, Lord. And help make us cognizant and aware of all you've done for us, Father. And give us grateful hearts, I pray. And Lord, for those of us going through tough times right now, and who feel like you've neglected and you've rejected us, and you're not answering our prayers, and we don't like where we are, Lord, remind us that we're right where we're supposed to be for this moment in time. And this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus for this moment in time. And you're in your perfect and sovereign plan, you're going to turn our uncomfortable situations into beauty and into good, because that's what you promise. And so by faith, help us believe those promises, rise up, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And in everything, give thanks. My friend, take a moment right now. Ask God to forgive you for not being as thankful as you should. And let's take a moment and take those things we've been complaining about and griping about and upset about. And instead of being angry at God, let's thank him that we're right where we're supposed to be. And that we accept that fact by faith in Jesus' name. And everybody prayed and said, amen. And what? Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for joining me. I love this passage. I hope it'll be one of your favorite passages too. Where are the other nine? I always tell my kids, after God does something for them, hey, don't be like the nine lepers. You make sure you go back and thank God. I hope you will too. God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.